Hello, friends. Welcome back to the second hour of Out of This World Radio with your host, Ted Marr, broadcasting live from the studios of KKNW on 1150 AM here in beautiful Bellevue, Washington, just outside Seattle. The purpose of this program is to raise consciousness and make this world a much better and happier place. And I know that with everyone's help, we can and will make this earth a much better place. I want to tell everyone I have a spiritual mentoring program where I teach people how to contact their angels and spirit guides. And if you'd like to get in touch with your spirit guides and angels, please call me at 509-750-9793 here in the United States, or email me at outofthisworld1150@gmail.com. I'll be this summer from July 2nd to the 8th and September 6th to the 12th, 2018. I'll be taking a group of people to Mount Shasta, Telos, and the Hollow Earth. It's a fantastic opportunity to actually meet people from the Hollow Earth and to see Sasquatch and UFOs. If you're interested, please send me an email to outofthisworld1150@gmail.com. With that, I'd like to bring on Carrie Cassidy. Carrie Cassidy is the CEO and founder of Project Camelot. She has over 58 million viewers worldwide and over 196,000 subscribers on her on her YouTube channel. And with that, I'd like to play her interview, and I'll be coming on at the end of the hour. Thank you so much, everyone, for listening today.
Hello, friends. I have a fascinating person on for the interviewing today. Her name's Carrie Cassidy. She's the CEO and founder of Project Camelot. She's a documentary filmmaker, investigative journalist, and a well-known host of Project Camelot TV, broadcasting weekly live shows on YouTube. Her website is www.projectcamelot.tv, a.k.a. projectcamelotportal.com. She's a leader in the alternative media sector with a YouTube channel that has over 58 million amazing viewers worldwide with over 196,000 subscribers. She travels around the world conducting interviews, and she's been working hard for many years to make this planet a much better and happier place. And Carrie, thank you so much for coming on my show today. I'm so glad you're here today.
Oh, well, thank you. I'm very happy to be here. And just to correct your subscribers, we go up by over 1,000 a month. So now we're at 198,000.
All right.
I'm very happy to say.
It's safe to say that you have a lot of people listening and subscribing to your wonderful broadcasts. And I guess it's a little bit like if you drive into a city, it'd be hard to count everybody individually, but I'm so glad that you're doing so well. I always like to ask people, Carrie, how did you ever get to be doing what you're doing now? I always like to ask people that. Was there a pivotal moment in your life that started you on your spiritual path?
Well, I guess you could say that I was born to it, because I always was aware of other worlds since mm-hmm. I was a kid.
Mm-hmm.
And that kind of propelled me, I guess, in this direction. And then I went down a spiritual direction. So I was into meditation.
Mm-hmm.
I stopped eating meat at sort of in my late teens, and
good for you.
Really was a vegetarian for about 30 years. I started eating meat again mm-hmm. a few years ago or mm-hmm. so. Anyway, and I guess you could say that I really studied Eastern philosophy, the occult, and really went down that road for many years. I got involved in working for Hollywood. I wanted to make sci-fi films that would tell the truth about what's really going on, and was very inspired by Steven Spielberg's Close Encounters of the Third Kind.
Mm-hmm.
And then I reached a glass ceiling in Hollywood and eventually decided to pick up a consumer-grade camcorder and go out and make my own, you might call it, UFO documentary. And that's wow. how I ended up starting Project Camelot.
Oh, is that amazing? Isn't that amazing? Well, I looked at your website. You have some fascinating guests on and some fascinating topics. One of the ones I ran across was Bob Dean. He writes about, his title is Talk Descriptions, ETs Among Us. And he says, you've written, as Bob Dean says, the Anunnaki are walking the halls of the Pentagon. I'd love some more information about his interview, if you don't mind.
Sure. Bob Dean, actually, I've interviewed him a number of times, and we became very, very good friends I'm also very good friends with his wife, Marcia Schaefer, and we interviewed her as well. Mm-hmm. He's a fascinating guy and a former command sergeant major. And he was working in SHAPE headquarters in Europe when he was given this book, which was he had a lot of sort of free time sitting at a desk job, I guess you call it, in mm-hmm. the military. Mm-hmm. And his commanding officer gave him this sort of amazing binder called The Assessment, which basically revealed the visitation and the flyovers of various UFOs and the ET presence on Earth and our interactions with them. And that just kind of changed his entire world. So eventually he went out and became what you call a whistleblower, and mm-hmm. he had been on the circuit for a number of years before we ever were around mm-hmm. or mm-hmm. created Project Camelot. But sure. when I interviewed him, he always says that I made him into a rock star. Because after that, his sort of personal profile just went through the roof.
Wow.
And I think it's because of the way I asked questions and really got the sort of to the nitty gritty of his story and really made people get to know him in a way they maybe hadn't in the past. So that was a really great experience. And he's a wonderful man. He's quite elderly at this point. He's not on the circuit anymore. We're still in touch. I can say that he did say that Anunnaki are walking the halls of the Pentagon, and they're walking a lot of other places on Earth, and they're very much here, mm-hmm. As are many other races. So he was, you know, he's in the know. He was a certain level of top secret clearance at one point. He did break his security oath, but because he was part of an old boys network, they did allow him to live, in essence. And I can say that there may be some other ways that he was hit mm-hmm. or kept under control.
Sure.
Since he did break his security oath. But nonetheless, he revealed a lot of truth and was a wonderful guy.
Wow, that's amazing. That's amazing. The Anunnaki, from my understanding, Carrie, and I love your input on this, are reptilian, aren't they? Reptilian-based?
No, that's actually that's actually mistaken.
Okay.
The Anunnaki are humanoid, and they were invaded by the reptilians at a certain point.
Okay.
So there is a branch of the Anunnaki that's called, I believe they're called the Syrian Anunnaki, and they mm-hmm. are Anunnaki reptilian hybrids. Mm. So they, like humans, were invaded by the reptilians, and we have been invaded by the reptilians as well.
Sure.
And in essence, I think maybe even their society was what you might call taken over by the reptilians. Mm-hmm. So maybe that's where the confusion arises.
Sure.
And what's really interesting is that I just did an interview with this guy named Eddie Page.
Right.
Who claims to be a Pleiadian contactee and messenger, and he has been working for the CIA along with, well, there's 33 children that he was one of them. So there's 33 others that are supposedly came here to Earth from Pleiades and are sort of here to reveal that particular link up with humanity, and they claim to be the creators of humanity. Now, there are a lot of races out there that claim to be creators of humanity. My understanding is they contributed their DNA, and perhaps the Pleiades were one of the first and primary, you might call, base of human genome at this time. So I was just talking to him about how the Anunnaki and the Pleiadians were actually related, but the Anunnaki were actually invaded by reptilians and in essence taken over. And this is where you get the notion in the Bible of the fallen ones, which he put that all together in a way that's never been done before on my show just a few, about an hour ago. And I encourage people to watch that show. Fascinating stuff. And, you know, it's a different take on the Anunnaki.
Well, I can't wait to watch it. I really can't. I wanted to tell you about a gentleman who was on my show about 2 years ago. His name is Wilbur Allen. Have you heard of him, Carrie?
Wilbur Allen.
Yeah.
Doesn't ring a bell, but
okay.
I'm not sure.
Okay. Well, I can put you in touch with him if he likes. He's a retired civil servants fellow. He lives about seven blocks or so from the White House. And in his copious free time, everybody has their hobbies. His hobby is photographing UFOs landing on the White House lawn and other federal agencies at night with the best night vision goggles he can find and cameras. And he was on my show about 2 years ago, and he showed videos and photographs of these spacecraft landing on the White House and different federal agencies. But he's an interesting man, and it completely fits into what you talked about, the Anunnaki walking among the halls of the Pentagon.
Well, that's fascinating. Sure, would love to, connect with him.
Okay, I'll put you in touch with him today after we get off the air.
Thanks.
But he's an interesting fellow, and that's all he does. I haven't talked to him in a while, but I'm sure he's still taking his pictures.
Okay, great.
Yeah. I wanted to tell you, since last summer, I go to Mount Shasta several times a year, and last summer I was connected with a Pleiadian entity. She's with me now, and she's been with me since I was at Mount Shasta last summer. And I actually have a family in the Pleiades, where I came from, and I've wanted to get in contact with them for tens of thousands of years, and now I have. So it's nice to have them here, and I'm so glad you interviewed this gentleman named Eddie Page, the Pleiadian messenger. I know on your website it reads Eddie Page, Pleiadian messenger, and I urge everyone to please check that out. RE, Death of JFK, Future Predictions and Mind Control. Could you talk a little bit about that, if you don't mind, Kara? I'm sure my listeners would love to know more about that.
About the interview I did today?
Yes, uh-huh, yeah.
Sure. We really covered a lot. I'm actually, maybe you'd say, two-thirds of the way through his book. It's a 600-page book, or more than that.
Wow.
And so it's quite a feat, I have to say.
Mm-hmm.
But fascinating book, his life story. And they contacted me, and I was basically doing my due diligence. He sent me a number of documents from that are marked, top secret, and some of basically, I think his, as having worked for the CIA and been associated with them so many years of his life, he right. vetted the information he's putting out there through them to a certain degree.
Mm-hmm.
But he is pushing the envelope, and this interview, I have to say that I probably asked him questions he's never been asked.
Okay.
And which I kind of have a tendency to do with people, and it was really a fascinating conversation. There are aspects where you wonder whether or not there was any kind of mind control that took place. I don't think that he thought there was, but he also was interrogated by the CIA as a young child. He predicted the Kennedy assassination accurately before
really?
It happened.
Wow, amazing.
He also has, in addition to his own testimony, he does his own research, which is very interesting. So because he was working for the CIA, he had access to a lot of their files, and
mm-hmm.
He apparently went out into the field and conducted interviews, spent, I think, 2 years investigating the Roswell incident.
Wow.
And also has his own key information about that incident,
mm-hmm.
and which relates to why it happened in the first place, and it was related to what is, in essence, the interstellar war going on between the Pleiadians and the Greys, which are the Zeta Reticuli, and that's what the crash, he says, was caused by a Pleiadian ship shooting down a Grey craft that was trying to prevent it from landing, and on that ship was, I guess, the mother-to-be of two of the what are called twins that were Pleiadian, beings who were brought to this earth, humans, in essence, but they're Pleiadian So I guess you call them Pleiadian hybrids because the mother is human and the father is Pleiadian.
I actually was put in touch with someone like that. I don't want to give too many details, but the hybrid's living in California now. But I actually was put in touch with someone just like that. And I had heard that, too, that the that it was a gray ship that was shot down. So that you're filling in the blanks for me. So thank you for doing that.
Well, he really does that in this interview. He mm-hmm. brings up things that other people maybe haven't put together
right.
normally.
Wow.
And I really go to the root of the issue.
Wow.
We end up talking about the nature of what is in essence God, which people call God, which mm-hmm. is not God, but nonetheless is a God, I guess you want to call, you know, someone who's Pleiadian, the head of the Pleiadians, mm-hmm. whatever you want to call that person. And humans think of, you know, worshiping these people. I don't think that's a good idea, but
right.
nonetheless, that's their prerogative. They wish to do that. But
right.
how religion has really sort of bent humans' mind and understanding. And it was fascinating to hear that he basically agrees with me on that. And we just had a huge conversation about everything under the sun. We talked about Jesus. We went the gamut, I have to say.
Wonderful. Wow, that's fascinating. That's fascinating.
It really is.
And I agree with you that religion has bent people's minds in a way sometimes it's not in their best interests. It's used often for a way of controlling people. But anyway, that's I'll have to listen to his interview. It sounds fascinating. I'll have to get a copy of his book, too. 600 pages is a huge book. He must have spent a long time writing the book.
Well, from what I understand, he had I'm not sure how you term it, but a ghost writer who at this time is not known. He doesn't want to be his name out there. But he said that eventually he will have his name out there. So mm-hmm. I guess it's apparently some fairly well-known. I think he said he was an English author.
Hmm.
So that'll be interesting when that person's name is revealed. But it's quite, you know, it's a well-written book. So you could see how it wasn't written by somebody who didn't understand the craft of writing a story. But it is a really fascinating story.
Wow, that's amazing. That's amazing. You know, I always like to, on your website, you mentioned several topics which are fascinating. You've written, let's see, NASA, Mars, Nibiru, corrupt U.S. presidents, and the end of days. In 25 words or less, no, I'm just kidding about 20. You can have more than 25 words, but.
you wish.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm going to have him back on the show because I didn't get a chance to cover everything, obviously.
We
had a solid 2 hours, and that seems to be the longest you can really get people to sit still for. So I'm anxious to have him back because there were so many other things we could really delve into.
Well, actually, I have a television producer, too, and I have a TV show called Out of This World TV, and my producer tells me, he says, Ted, people have been genetically modified so that they can't listen for more than 30 minutes for any broadcast for TV. And I thought, well, that's too bad. Because when I was growing up a million years ago, people's attention was longer. But nowadays, things seem to have speeded up, Carrie, and it's a lot shorter now.
Well, you know, I think it is and it isn't. I mm-hmm. think it depends on the person, first of all. And I think that it's a personal choice.
Sure.
I just think that there's a lot of, it's just like Camelot. When we started Camelot, we were really unusual. And we had a huge audience out there instantaneously because we were traveling the world with a camera, interviewing people about these really out there topics.
Right.
And going in person. And every single interview was, people were waiting like on the edge of their seats. And I know that sounds absurd, but it really was
Great.
The case.
Wow.
And people would get mad at us because we would say, okay, now we're going to interview this one. It's coming out soon. And I mean, if we were a few hours late or a day late, you know, people just would write to us like in droves saying, you know, where's the interview?
I've had the same thing happen.
Now everyone and their brother is doing what I was doing and what I've been doing. So it's,
wow.
the playing field has changed, and it's there's so much to choose from in terms of educating and entertaining yourself, et cetera. It's really, you know, the internet has changed the game. So I don't think personally it's that they don't have a good attention span. I'm sure there are some people that don't, but
yeah.
I think it's much more that we have so much choice, and people kind of feel like they are losing or missing something if they don't like jump from one thing to next really quickly.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're not going to be in the know if they haven't kind of. So it's kind of like that. It's really choice.
Oh, sure. I'm just curious, and this goes to both your guest, Eddie, and you as well. What do you see happening this year and in the future in the U.S. and elsewhere?
What I see happening just in the world in general?
Yeah, in the world in general, in the U.S. in particular. Any predictions you'd like
all
to
right.
make? Yeah.
I mean, I am an optimist, so I'm not some people think I have doom and gloom on my shows. Mm-hmm. I don't, actually. I'm just I'm very open-minded, and I'm not, I don't know how to explain it, but I don't get daunted by, dire predictions of the future, let's call it. I
sure.
have a different philosophy of life. I do believe that we are eternal. And I don't just think of that as, oh, we're eternal souls. For some reason, I actually really believe that. So it does color the way I view reality.
Mm-hmm.
If you really walk the walk and talk the talk instead of just, you know, giving lip service to the idea that we are eternal. We're not eternal souls some of the time and not others.
Right.
We always are eternal.
Right.
So it simply means that a dire prediction of the future here on Earth and what we may decide to have a challenge of is simply that. It's a challenge to our souls to surmount in whatever way we see fit. And it's just part of the excitement of being on the planet. So I don't know. I don't have a depressing view of reality or the future. But I do see, on the other hand, I do see sort of calling a spade. I do see, you know, that we are controlled, that this is a sort of a prison planet, or it certainly doesn't have to be.
Right.
I see it's a paradise on one hand and hugely deceptive on the other. Mm-hmm. I see all the trouble that we are experiencing, chemtrails, nano in our bloodstreams, you know,
right.
takeover threats by artificial intelligence, invasion by spider beings. I mean, there's all kinds of stuff out there that could really ruin your career or your morning.
Ruin your day, yeah.
Coffee or whatever you want to call it. But
sure.
So what do I see in the future? I see a lot of challenges.
Mm-hmm.
I have seen, you know, I am a precog. I do have dreams of the future and they do come true.
Mm-hmm.
I have plenty of dreams of the future, but I also hold out the notion that, first of all, I don't necessarily, you know, go out and talk about them. And the other thing is I see that they can be, you know, possible versions of reality, and they may or may not happen. So I sort of wait to see.
Mm-hmm.
So I try to keep an open mind about the future, and I think we are always creators. We're creator beings. That's part of what we're doing here on Earth,
sure.
is to sort of refine our skills, if you want to call it that, of being creator beings. So we create our future as we go. And both united and individually. So I do believe that we have a certain degree of control over the future. And the events that are sort of written into this scenario of being alive at this time and place is something that we signed up for.
Mm-hmm.
And for some reason, we've decided to experience.
Mm-hmm. I couldn't agree with you more, and I think we're powerful spiritual beings, and we can choose to create a beautiful and happy world, too. It doesn't have to be doom and gloom, and I'm the eternal optimist, Gary. I think I'm always looking at the bright side of things, and I think that the Earth itself is like a big school. We're all here to learn lessons, and I wrote a book about 6 months ago called Messages from the Masters. It has messages from Nostradamus, Professor Albert Einstein, Jack Kennedy, Robert F. Kennedy, and on our bright, beautiful future. And so I published it, and many of the predictions in the book have already come true, or coming true, actually. They told me that there wouldn't be any war with North Korea and that tensions would calm down, and that the timeline they said changed actually back after Fukushima. The Japanese call it 3/11 back in 2011, when at one point in the past 15, 10, 20 years, we were headed toward a Armageddon World War III. But that timeline has changed now. We're not now. And so I'm looking forward to a very bright future. One of the people you interviewed as well is Arthur Newman. And I was just fascinated by you've got a post on him. He's quoted saying, yes, there's life on Mars, bases on Mars, and I've been there. I'd love your comments on your interview with him.
Oh, well, he didn't just say that to me. He actually said it on stage at the Exopolitics Barcelona conference. Mm-hmm. And he did it. He came on stage right after Bob Dean, or while Bob Dean was still on the stage.
Right.
It was lunch hour at the end of the speech. And I have to say that I encouraged him to do this because I knew that he'd been invited by the organizers. Strangely, they paid his way to this conference. Mm-hmm. And Bill and I were hosting the panel discussions, I guess you call it, and doing mm-hmm. some interviews behind the scenes. Mm-hmm. And so we were there, but they flew in Henry Deacon, and then they didn't want him to talk. His name is Arthur Neumann, but originally he came out on Project Camelot under an assumed name called Henry Deacon.
Oh, I see.
So we have a number of written interviews with him. Back in those days, he didn't want to be on camera and wouldn't show his face or his real name. And then he actually gained in courage and decided to come forward. And once he did come forward, he was invited, as I say, to this conference. So he went on stage there, and he actually announced that he had been working on Mars and going back and forth.
Wow.
So that was, that was his disclosure, and he's a top whistleblower, really.
Mm-hmm. What kind of work did he do on Mars, did he say?
Well, his discipline or specialty, he's really actually, I think you might call him, multi-talented. I know he specializes to some degree in electronics, but he was a loose terminology, but project manager, project director type of person.
Mm-hmm.
And that person, the reason he was such a good whistleblower is because he was transdisciplinary. Mm-hmm. So he didn't stay in just one little pocket and only know that.
Mm-hmm.
He actually got to see kind of a wide spectrum. And I think he's an interesting guy. He's he's really a scientist. So he's really knowledgeable about a lot of things.
Mm-hmm. Corey Good was on my show a couple of years ago, along with Randy Kramer, who were both in the Secret Space Program. And they talked about this German breakaway civilization having bases, they mentioned their bases on the moon, as well as on Ceres, which is an asteroid in the asteroid belt. They also talked about the Mars Colony Corporation, the MCC, which is it's made up of corporations in the military-industrial complex here on planet Earth, and they share and develop extraterrestrial technology. Did he talk about that during your interview with him, Carrie?
Not exactly. No. He did talk about so many things. It's really hard to kind of categorize it into one thing. We talked about the bases on the moon and Mars and the sort of interstellar war, Phobos being a command and control center, lots of things. Some of the things that, Corey Good later came out with are questionable in terms of whether they're exactly accurate. Mm. But, loosely speaking, they're probably more or less correct.
Mm-hmm.
Henry Deacon, he also talked about the control over humanity, the lies that people have been told. He did talk about Solar Warden, which is it's a space fleet that is made up of humans and very likely ETs mm-hmm. that patrol our galaxy.
Sure.
And our solar system specifically.
Mm-hmm.
He talked about going interstellar. He talked about there's a huge litany of things he talked about. He talked about the secret space program being 10,000 or more years in advance of where we are here mm-hmm. on surface Earth.
Sure.
Talked about the underground bases. He was really one of the first to come forward with the level of information that is the secret space program. And I would even go so far as to say that he probably coined the term or made it popular, and we enhanced that even more. So, all I can say is Henry Deacon was kind of there first in that way.
Well. Do you remember that when you mentioned the control of humanity and the lies that which were told to control us? I'd love to hear your viewpoint on what he termed the lies over us and the control over humanity.
The lies that we're being told every day, religious mm-hmm. lies. It's everywhere, I don't even know where to start.
Okay. Well, start anywhere. Start anywhere. You can start with religion if you like. It doesn't matter. Whatever you want to talk about, Carrie, would be great. So.
Yeah, no, I mean, I appreciate that. You're asking me, though, about his testimony specifically, and I don't want to be inaccurate. So
okay.
It's very hard. You understand, I interviewed him this is back 10 or 11 years ago.
Oh, wow.
So
okay.
His testimony, I've interviewed like over 700, really over 700 people, more like 1,000, at least 1,000. But I've published video interviews of close to 700.
Wow.
And I've done radio shows for 5 years. And I mean, you could say my head is kind of exploding with so much stuff.
Sure.
Things that are lies to humanity are so many that it's just, to me, they're just normal. And I don't even think about them anymore because they're just part of my life.
Mm-hmm.
If you say something, I'll know if it's true or not. Mm-hmm. It's like that. It's more that I can spot a lie a mile away because not only have I investigated a great deal myself and have very heightened intuition, but I've sort of gone to the horse's mouth. I've spoken to the witnesses on so many different topics that you'd have to say, is this real or is this not real? And then I might know something, assuming I know about it.
Sure.
You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
So I don't know where to pick a lie out of a hat.
Yeah, that's okay. Sure, that's fine. That's fine.
It's the milieu we live in.
Sure.
This world, your teachers are constantly lying to you. Your parents are lying to you. Your schools, your religion, your television, you name it.
Sure.
I mean, the lies, your politicians. I mean, there's no end.
Sure. Absolutely. The
biggest lie is that we're alone. We are mm-hmm. not alone, as Bob Dean says, and we've
right.
never been alone.
Right.
Good start there. I think that's a good one.
Right. I couldn't agree with you more. I think we're all from somewhere else, and that's what my spirit friends say. If you go back, I do readings for people, psychic readings, and people come in and they're from the Pleiades, or they're from Arcturus, they're from Sirius, they're from all different parts of the galaxy here, because people are always interested in their soul origins. I have to ask you, though, I know you've had a lot of interviews, but Courtney Brown, it says on your website here you had an interview with him back on April 27th of 2018, remote viewing Moses and the Ten Commandments with with Courtney Brown and Daz Smith. I've interviewed Courtney before several times. I really enjoy him. Do you remember much from that interview, Carrie, you'd like to share with my listeners?
Yeah, that's quite a bit more recent. Well, I mean, it was interesting. In essence, Moses got the Ten Commandments from ETs.
Oh, okay.
And strangely, I just, again, kind of a serendipity or coincidence, that I just talked to Eddie Page about, we were talking in general about the Middle East and Egypt and so on, and he brought up Moses, and basically, in essence, I guess he was saying that Moses was given those commandments from the Pleiades, from what he called Anu as being one of the titles of the head of the Pleiades and what people refer to as God. So that is the head of the Pleiades, and that's where those, and they were basically flown down in a craft and handed to him.
Mm-hmm. Wow. And that was the whole thing about the Bible and the story of Moses, and that was...
That is what this recent witness is saying. Now, okay. As far as the remote viewers, they said that too, but they didn't name the Pleiades. They only said, oh, Moses did go to a remote place and was basically had a meeting with ETs that gave him this, information. So... They were in agreement, or they are in agreement. So very interesting.
Fascinating. That's fascinating.
Right.
I see that you've had Dr. Richard Allen Miller on your website, and he's a great guy. He's a friend of mine. He's been on my show before, and that's great. That's great.
I mean, I broke him actually in many ways to the I don't know, viewing public, and. I did an interview called The Megas Who Came In From the Cold. He always attributes my interview to being sort of his debut in major media. He had been writing articles, however, for Nexus Magazine in Australia for a number of years. Mm-hmm. But in terms of coming on video, and I interviewed him in person. So that interview is really a classic, you would call it.
Wow.
And do highly recommend that, because he's really a character. He's a delightful man and quite brilliant. I've had him on my show really so many times, I don't even know if I can count at this point. And he is a good friend. And in fact, it looks like we may be able to finally go visit him and do some more in-person interviewing.
Oh, good.
This summer, if all things go as planned, because I'm going to be speaking in Yelm, which is in Washington.
I'll be there. I look forward to seeing you. Yeah, I'll be there.
You will?
Yeah, okay. Yeah. I'll be publicizing it. I'll have a table. And my friend Michiko Hayashi, the Modal Peace Project, will be giving a presentation. So let's have lunch or something, dinner. That'd be great.
Oh, well, sounds great. Yeah. Because I'm speaking there, it's very close, just a few hours drive to get to where Richard Allen Miller lives. So we've been invited to go down and see him.
Oh, good. Well, say hi, Richard, for me. I visited him a year or two years ago at his home, and I was tired. I was driving back from Oregon back to my home in Olympia, Washington. So he made me a cup of coffee, and he made a mistake of putting salt in the coffee instead of sugar. So. When I took a gulp of it, it wasn't exactly sweet, but I do remember that cup of coffee. That was funny.
Yeah, no, he's a lovely man. He did come down here. I live in the north of L.A. in the L.A. area,
sure.
Greater L.A. area, I guess you might call it. And he did a speaking engagement here, mm-hmm. also. So he visited us down here. And I also, when I first interviewed him, in, what's the name of that? Reno. And that he was doing he does these survival kind of things with Matt Stein. And, and so as part of that interview, one of the things we do is a small tour of a herb garden because he's really an expert herbologist.
Oh, yeah.
On top
Absolutely.
Of his other brilliant skills.
Yeah.
So that was kind of fun, and it makes good movie making.
He's a genius, absolute genius, and a fun guy. So be sure to say hi to him.
Absolutely.
Well, what a small world. Well, I'm looking forward to meeting you at the end of next month. That'll be fun.
Okay, yeah, be great.
That'll be fun. I have to ask you this. Last fall, I was driving across the country, and I stopped in Aurora, Texas, and I viewed the gravesite where this ET was buried, and I'd love your take on that. I saw it here on your website interview. It's called "The Real Cowboys and Aliens: The Aurora, Texas Alien Crash of 1897."
Right. Well, I mean, you know, that's actually a fun book as well. I do recommend his book. Mm-hmm. What can I say? It's a fun interview. I mean, I think it's legit. All the indicators are that there's really, you know, body buried. I think it disappeared, as I recall, but, he has a photograph of it, and I don't know. It's a great story. You know, the whole town seemed to rally around it, and also for some reason, kind of keeping it quiet. So that's kind of strange, but that's what happened.
Did you say somebody stole the body?
Yeah, that's what I believe. That's the last I heard. Yeah.
Hmm. Why on earth did they dig up? They must have dug up the gravesite then.
Well, I mean, this is the kind of thing, you know, the powers that be do in order to make sure that no real evidence ever gets out there about the ET presence until they're ready for it to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Although I'll say here that apparently, at least according to an interview an hour ago with Eddie Page again, he says the Pleiadian ship had just arrived in our vicinity, I guess at 2 a.m. today, mm-hmm. and that it was being picked up on by NORAD and various places. It's not being publicized. So I guess his CIA colleagues or whoever it is, he said he's got something like 124 phone calls about it since 2 a.m. and that there are more Pleiadian ships on the way.
Nice.
And in essence, kind of hinting that a sort of disclosure event is, I don't know if it's imminent, but sounds like it's coming closer. And so we'll see if anything materializes. He did say that, of course, the powers that be are keeping it quiet and not allowing it to get into the news.
Well, surprise, surprise. I was in England 2 or 3 weeks ago, and I was visiting David Icke there. And while I was there, they get crop circles all the time, and there was one, a new one, that showed up in a place called Dorchester, about 4.5 hours outside of London, out in these wheat fields. And from what I've been told, and I'd love your opinion on this, Carrie, is that this is one way for extraterrestrials to let people know that they're around, and they want to communicate with humanity and us, because they know that the governments like to control the information and hide it from us. Have you heard much about crop circles? I mean, as far as like the reasons for them and why they appear?
Well, sure. You know, I have seen one in person, or at least a part of one that was being mowed down, in English countryside. I go to England quite often. In fact, I'm going in a week. I'll be in England.
Wonderful.
And one, because my boyfriend lives there, and two, because I'm actually doing a conference in England. I should actually put a plug in here for my conference.
Oh, absolutely.
That is in the summer, so it's July 7th and 8th.
Okay.
On top of it, I'm on my way to Barcelona, where I'm speaking at the ufology, I think they call it UFO World event, and it's advertised on my website. So if you're interested, go under events on my website, and you'll be able to find it there. It's being held in Barcelona, and so it's a conference, and it's I think the weekend of the 22nd, 23rd, and 24th.
I
believe on Sunday the 24th.
Oh, good. Well, for all my listeners in Spain or in Europe, or if you're in Europe, please go see Carrie at this wonderful UFO ufology congress. The website for Terry's events is https://project CamelotPortal.com events. So you'll be able to find out.
Well, projectcamelot.tv is the easiest way to find it, just to a shorter URL. We use more than one URL that go to the same place simply because people in other countries have told me that they started to block the projectcamelotportal.com. So now we use projectcamelot.tv just to make sure that people can find us. There's no guarantee they're not going to start blocking that, but at least it's a chance. In essence, I didn't answer your question. You were asking me, I forget, something about, it made me remember my conferences, but I forgot what the question was.
Oh, yeah, it was an attempt by extraterrestrials to communicate directly with humanity on their presence and messages as well, because governments like to control things, and the crop circles are one that they can't control.
Oh, crop circles. Okay, yeah, sure. But, you know, in essence, it's the it's a certain race of extraterrestrial, I believe, that does those crop circles, the ones that are done by them. Now, what happened was the military, and I have a secret witness who documented the fact that the military did start copying them. So some of those crop circles are not made by ETs.
Oh, I see.
Now, of course, there's the notorious ones that are also made by humans that try to mimic the crop, you know, the real ones. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of a mixture. And I am trying to remember the race of beings that actually is most responsible for those. I guess their name will come to me. It's
okay. You can always email it to me, and I can add it on. I can do that. I want to tell you something interesting. You can check with your friends in the UK on this. But when I was in the United Kingdom here a few weeks ago, I don't know if you remember this fellow, and I got a fellow named Tom Lear. He was a comedian in the 50s and 60s. He wrote a lot of protest songs. He wrote a lot of, I like his work actually, but you can't pull him up in the UK. It's all his websites are down. You just can't, it's missing. You can pull it up here in the United States, but you can't pull it up in the UK.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't think I know that comedian, but all
okay.
Right.
Okay, yeah. He wrote...
There's lots of, you know, censorship going on right now.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, my advertising account on Facebook has been shut down since November, ever since I posted... I did a show on messages from President Kennedy on our beautiful, bright future, and Facebook took offense, and I still have an account on Facebook, but they shut down my advertising account, and they won't reinstate it. So
that's they attacked your account.
Yeah, they shut it down, the advertising account. I can't advertise on Facebook now. So they don't, apparently Zuckerman doesn't like President Kennedy, so I'm not surprised. But
wow, that is just incredible. You know, that just goes to show you. I had the same thing. They targeted a John F. Kennedy interview that I did on him and demonetized it.
Yep. It figures. There was something else that happened too. My book is called Messages from the Masters, and I was advertising. They've shut it down, but it's messages from President Kennedy and his brother Robert F. Kennedy. You know, this was the June 5th was the 50th anniversary, I think, of RFK's assassination. And I'm sure you know this, Coast to Coast, I've been told, is owned by the Bush family. And so sometimes they have people on there that aren't exactly clear, and they often broadcast disinformation. But Senator Kennedy told me last year that Sirhan wasn't the real killer. There was the guy's name was what was his name? Thane Caesar. He was a CIA agent who shot him through the neck in the back of the Ambassador Hotel on June 5th, 1968. And the day after he murdered him, he was flown at government expense to the Philippines, where he's lived ever since on a U.S. government pension. So. That's what.
So you had a person come forward to give you this information?
No, I'm a psychic. I've been a psychic for the last 25 years, and I contacted Senator Kennedy. He contacted me about 3 years ago, and he told me complete details about his assassination. So it's written in my.
You're talking about Senator Kennedy. I'm sorry. You're talking about Robert Kennedy? You're talking
Robert
about
Kennedy.
Edward Kennedy?
Robert Kennedy, yeah.
Okay. You're saying that Robert Kennedy psychically, obviously from the grave, so to speak, contacted you and told you this information?
Oh, yeah. I've been in contact with these spirits, with President Kennedy and Robert F. Kennedy for the past 3 years, and I've been in touch with the other side for over 24 years. So I come from a psychic family. It's normal for me to talk to spirits on the other side. It's not a big deal. But there's no such thing as death, they tell me, Carrie. There's simply a transformation, and their energy is still there.
I quite agree.
One of the wonderful things about this time, Carrie, is that the vibrations of the planet are getting higher and higher. And what's called the Schumann resonance, and as the vibrations go higher and higher, things that are false will be shown to be false and fall by the wayside, and those that are true will become evident as being true. And so your work in bringing forth the truth will become even more important in the future.
I certainly hope so. And, I certainly agree that that humans are raising, their awareness at all times. And I think the Earth in general, in fact, is going through a very energetic part of space that is actually contributing to the awareness.
That's right.
Increasing here on planet Earth. And if, certain incidents that are happening, depending on the people that want to experience them, also, even things as, what seems like fairly dire things like earth changes can raise awareness really quickly. So that's in part why they sometimes happen. I agree with you completely.
Yeah, well, you're doing wonderful work, Carrie, and I'm so happy you could come on my show today. We've got about 2 or 3 minutes left, and I wanted to tell you that so you could wrap up your wonderful interview.
It's great to be on your show. As far as wrapping it up, I don't have anything very specific to say. I can simply say that, I hope people will watch my work. A lot of people miss some of the most important interviews because they kind of concentrate only on the most recent.
Mm-hmm.
And although I have some fabulous recent interviews, they should go all the way back to the beginning of Camelot and the earlier years. I have got what you call playlists on my YouTube channel where you can kind of find by the topics of the playlist, like classic Camelot. I think is a great place to start. I've also recently published on the site a sort of a page that's kind of a primer for getting people up to speed quickly, and so that obviously that's very hard to take into account 700 interviews. But if you want to go to that page, you can kind of get some highlights. And I do want to say that my interviews with Captain Mark Richards of the Secret Space Program are some of, in my view, the most important information that's ever gone out about the Secret Space Program. I do have 8 interviews now. I go to prison to interview him in prison. He's been framed for a murder he didn't commit, but was supposedly the mastermind behind, which he wasn't that either. And his wife, Joanne Richards, is a speaker on the circuit, and I've interviewed her as well. So my interviews with Captain Mark Richards, as I say, I do try to advertise them periodically. I just did a recent one about 2 months ago, released a new one, and highly recommend those.
Wonderful, Carrie. Well, I want to thank you so much for coming on today. You're just fascinating, and your work is wonderful. And thank you again so much for coming on today and sharing your wisdom with all my listeners.
Oh, well, thank you for having me.
Hello, friends. I hope you enjoyed that interview with Carrie Cassidy. And we'll be going. I'll be going to Mount Shasta in a couple of weeks. If you'd like to come with me, send me an email, please, to outofthisworld1150@gmail.com. And I hope you all have a beautiful and happy weekend. And thank you again so much for listening to Out of This World Radio. Together, I know we can create a much better and happier planet. Bye-bye, everyone.